T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I wish that I could fly into the sky so very high, just like a dragonfly. I fly above the trees.
Hello. He's your artist of the day. Your keyword this hour is cap. C-A-P. Cap. What are you owing about? Sending cap. Oh, to 72881. Interesting story here out of Marquette, Kansas. If you've never heard of it, there's a reason. It's a very small town and it almost died.
Like, how small are we talking?
It's tiny. You'll have to look at population 650.
That's not large.
That's tiny. That's very small. Probably not a single traffic light in the entire town.
No.
Many rural communities in the United States are struggling, but some are finding creative ways to grow. In fact, in Marquette, they are offering a free plot of land to build on if you will move there. Steve Piper was the mayor of the town. By the way, I'm gonna ask an interesting question here. I think it's
not far from McPherson, just northwest of there.
It's not far from Lindsborg either.
Yeah, it's closer actually to Lindsborg.
Yeah, Steve Piper was the mayor of the town in 2005 when the town first developed the idea. He runs the only grocery store in the small town of about 650 residents. In 2005. The Marquette School District was in danger of consolidating with nearby Lindsborg. Don't even get me started.
We will not.
But city leaders knew they probably could not convince an employer to move into town. The city raised money through donations and grants to purchase approximately 50 acres on the edge of town, then divided it into 80 lots. We said, here they are, folks.
Come and get them.
Come and get them. Come and get them. 30 or so families quickly moved into the new lots within a few years. Now, let me ask you a question. And this has been, especially here in Northeast Johnson County, discussed ad nauseum to no avail. Why do we have so many damned cities, in particular in Kansas City, Missouri, or in the Kansas City, Missouri metropolitan area?
Like way back when, who decided?
For example, let me give you an example. I noticed when we went up to, and this is going to be heresy for some of you, when we went up to do the festival in Liberty a couple of weeks ago, there was no distinction between when we left Kansas City, Missouri, and when we entered Liberty, Missouri.
There's not now.
No, there isn't.
No, yeah, but whenever...
Are you saying
whenever
all
these places
of these
were
towns should consolidate what the smaller
I,
ones?
What I'm suggesting, or for the topic of discussion, and I don't necessarily know that I believe what I'm saying. For example, you go up to Lansing and Leavenworth. There is no real difference between when you leave Lansing and when you enter Leavenworth, other than there's a Melissa Etheridge sign and there's not a Scott Park sign.
Sometimes the street signs are different colors. Leawood Prairie Village.
Right.
But you mean, what is the difference?
Why do we have all of these small towns? Why don't they consolidate? Northeast Johnson County being a prime example. Years ago, I can't remember if it was Dave Helling or Yale Wabahalka at the Kansas City Star, suggested that Roland Park, Fairway,
Mission,
Westwood, and Mission all merge
and
become one city.
Good luck with that.
I was adamantly opposed. Now I'm not so sure.
Because it would consolidate the number and the cost of city services?
Yes. It would most certainly save on the cost of city services.
I think each of these municipalities that you're referencing there are all big enough to stand on their own. It's not like St. Louis County, which is notorious for having something on the order of 100 different actual cities that are in it, each of them with just a few hundred people. Those, I think, are a much greater argument for consolidation than this. Now, to your question, why do we have so many of these towns? It's simple. They were platted that way.
Way back when.
Right. And then they've all just kind of grown together into this blob that we have now.
Okay. So what's the point in keeping it the way it is?
What's the point in consolidating?
Save money.
Okay. Is that the only reason we do anything?
But if you have a town of 600, let's be honest, 650 people, you are not going to be offering massive amounts of city services, Scott. That's probably going to be a board of aldermen. This is my guess. Unpaid. I mean, you still have to offer water and trash.
You still have to run a city hall.
Yeah, but in those very, very small towns, are those not storefronts?
A lot of them are.
Roland Park has its own city hall.
And I'm not saying that doesn't cost money, but I don't think in a town of 650, we're talking about multi-millions of dollars in budget money a year. Would you move there, by the way, for free land?
Hell no. Do they have an airport? Do they have a Major League Baseball team? Do they have an NFL football team? No.
Ropo doesn't have any of those things.
That is true.
You're in timeout until 4:30. That was the dumbest thing you've ever said.
I like the fact that they're thinking outside of the box. Let's give away land. We're not making any money on the land. It's just sitting here being land. We might as well use that to entice people to come to the town. And some people did.
I don't think that's the solution, but I think it is. I think it is progress, and I think it is a solution.
So if you're 30 years old and you and your husband decide to take the free land.
They cut it up into 80 lots.
Okay.
30 families took advantage.
30? Okay.
Which means they have 50 empty lots.
They have 50 empty lots, but those lots were empty anyway, Scott.
This was in 2005.
Land is land. That land is going to be there anyway, whether you have families moving in or not. I think the problem with some of these small towns is if you take advantage of that free lot and you build there, where are the jobs? Where are you going to work in a town of 650 people? There's a general store.
Casey's General Store.
Where are the jobs?
The school, the farm.
School or farm would be the primary two. Or you travel.
Or you commute to Lindsborg or McPherson.
Yeah. Or you travel to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is not with the young husband and wife that move there with these small towns. The problem is with those kids.
That leave.
And the number one way to get people into these small towns, I've said it before, I'll keep saying it till I'm blue in the face, you have got to invest in really good broadband internet access. That opens so many doors.
But is
when
it
comes
enough
to employment?
Keep the kids there, Will? And
yeah.
You know that the answer is no.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Those kids
no,
in those
Will,
small high schools.
Will, I love you, man. Dude, I...
Tech startups.
Will,
tech startups are at the backbone of that.
Not
that's what,
in a town of 650
no.
people.
Will, I love you, man. I do. You have a unique... I'm not making fun of you at all, okay?
A unique affinity.
This is going to sound like an insult, but it's not.
Not at all. I don't think so.
I know.
You have a unique love affinity for small town America.
I do.
That I think most people your age and younger just don't have, Will.
I would intend to agree with that. I will also say this. You have the people that grow up there, that go away to college, that don't come back because they don't have the opportunities there.
Because they don't want to.
If you have an environment where it is inexpensive to start a tech-based business, which is what you have in these small towns, you and I both know the cost of living in a place like Marquette, Kansas is just through the floor. It's cheap.
Yeah.
If you have that and you have a way for people to make money from there using the internet, you are going to be in business.
Okay.
Ask Rockport, Missouri about that, because there has been a significant push there.
Dana Wright, very quickly, we got to get to break. Could I convince you with free land to move to Marquette, Kansas?
No.
Why?
Because everything is here.
Right. Will, I think you have a unique love for the small town of America. You are like the John Cougar Mellencamp of this show.
Thank you.
You know why? Because I want to look up on a Friday and go, huh, Hugh Jackman's at the Sprint Center. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like those things.
576-7798.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everybody in the car, so come on, let's ride to the liquor store around the corner. The boys say they want some gin and juice, but I really don't wanna be a buzz like I had last week.
Go.
I must stay deep, cause talk is cheap. I like
Ron.
Angela, Pamela, Sandra, and Rita.
In Knobtown, Missouri, where the mayor is one Mark Alford. Hello, Ron.
I was just gonna ask you to confirm that for me.
It is confirmed.
Very good. I was just telling Sam, my house is in Kansas City, Missouri, and then two houses down from my house is Raytown city limit, and then about a half mile down the highway down 350 is Knobtown. So within a half a mile to three quarters of a mile, you got three cities.
Well, but Knobtown is technically part of Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Okay, well, Mark needs to change that then and make it its own deal.
Okay.
That's all I got, guys. Have a great day.
All right, man. Hey, do appreciate it. I can beat you one on that one. I could throw a rock from my back patio over the fence in my backyard, and it would land in Mission, Kansas. That's how close I live to Mission. The argument I'm making, and I love the idea that I live in a small town, but God knows I really don't live in a small town.
You do not. That is correct.
You live in a small town that is part of a metro blob.
You right. live in a yeah. suburb of a metro blob.
I live in a landlocked small town, and the only reason it's landlocked is because there are cities all around it. Aaron, what up?
Hey guys. So I think there's a couple of things that recently have happened in our metropolitan area or a little bit outside it. You know, at one point, somewhere in Johnson County, they annexed a bunch of property, and people were very upset about that because they did not want to be, you know, blobbed into Olathe, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people were upset about that. And then you've also got those small towns in Missouri that lost their police departments, and Cass County took over the policing with their sheriffs. People are very upset about that. And then you've also got, there's a third point, but, some of these small towns are not close together. So if you have West Sucksville and East Sucksville, and they're, 50 miles apart, how do you combine those, for these small school districts?
Well, I don't think, Aaron, to borrow your example, and then you're welcome to add on, if you have West Sucksville and East Sucksville, and they're 50 miles apart, I don't think anybody in their right mind is going to argue that you consolidate the two cities to create one Sucksville.
Right. So, I'm sorry, I couldn't come up with a better name there, but that's what these small towns in Kansas, like Marquette, why they can't, how do they combine? They just go up, belly up, and then what do you do? How far are you going to send the kids to school now? And, I think that's a big problem with these small towns. But, internet, Will brought up is, this is going to be a game changer with this rural internet. Here in Holden, Missouri, it's right by Kingsville, where I live, they just recently run fiber optic to all the homes in the area. And so more people can work from home for internet companies or IT or whatever. So that, I think, is going to be a game changer for some of these towns to be able to bring in their own business and not have to put in, an actual manufacturing facility.
Yeah, and a lot of people agree with you, Aaron, and with Will on the text line, that the way to keep these small towns viable and alive is to bring in the internet access.
So someone on the text line said, look up Chanute. Chanute did this. Now, Chanute is also about 9,000 people.
Okay.
I don't know that it makes sense to do this for a town of 650 people, but Chanute did back in 2015. They brought in mega Google Fiber Wi-Fi, and they charge $40 a month for everyone to have it. And then in the public spaces, Wi-Fi exists and is free. So city buildings, parks, they brought in super, super high-speed internet. I'm trying to find a more recent story to see if that, in fact, brought in economic development, or is it just a great perk living in Chanute that you have Google Fiber?
If I may, I would like to use as another example Atwood, Kansas. That's a town of about 1,200 people in the northwestern part of the state. They brought in the fixed wireless at an extremely high rate of speed. They have, in that time, reversed three decades of population decline, including one time it was double digits.
Wow. But if I may, for just a brief moment, I know we got to get to the news. Towns like Countryside, which is right over
here, was absorbed
by Mission because they had no city hall. They had no real business other than a church. They had no way of making money.
That was more of a neighborhood, though, than a city, Scott.
But here's my next point. Mission Hills, which is policed by Prairie Village, which has no city hall that I'm aware of, it's just basically a neighborhood of really nice houses. Just become Prairie Village and suck it.
Oh, yeah. Like, let me tell you what's not going to be absorbed into Prairie Village, and that's Mission Hills.
But we sure like it when the Prairie Village Police Department drives by.
And you know what? Those property tax dollars spend just fine. Thank you.
I know.
By the way, they do have a city hall. It's on 63rd and State Line.
Okay. Never seen it.
Gorgeous.
It is gorgeous.
Aren't you in timeout?
It's called Bob Hamilton's house.
No, it's absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, they did have that. There are more people that live in that town than you think there are.
Oh, I know. But it's a small town. 2,000 people?
I can look it up. It's
maybe. Westwood Hills, which is just east of Westwood. Why do you exist?
Well, life on the farm is kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy like me can't hack. It's early to rise, early in the sack. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, a simple kind of life never did me no harm. Raising me a family and working on the farm. My days are all filled with an easy
country charm.
Oh,
listen to this, guys. Speaking
of
small towns, an area filmmaker is turning his knowledge of a small Missouri town into a full-length feature film laced with mystery and crime.
I love it already.
Me too.
Below the Fold, that's the name of the film, is based on events over the years in
Skidmore. I was going to say it had to be Skid Vegas.
About 300 people live in Skidmore, about an hour or so northwest of St. Joe. I believe it's northeast of St. Joe.
Northeast, yeah.
It is a small town known for a cycle of high-profile murders, disappearance, and violence. That is what has inspired Kansas City filmmaker Clayton Scott. Clayton, I don't know if you're in town. I don't know if you're listening. If you are, I want to talk to you right now. He says, I grew up in Worth County, Missouri. So right next door was Skidmore. And you hear about stories of just like the town and all the different kinds of, you know, different kind of weird crimes that happened there.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody needs to be reminded that back in 1981 in Skidmore, Missouri, population 300, someone shot and killed Ken Rex McElroy as he sat in his truck right in the city square.
He was the town bully.
He was feared and hated around town, even though plenty of witnesses saw the shooting. Huh. Nobody has ever come forward to identify the killer.
Still.
That's called street justice.
What sheriff's department would that have been?
Nottoway.
Nottoway County.
Yes.
Okay.
And Nottoway County, I mean, okay, yes, Skidmore has its own things. Nottoway County as a whole
has its own stuff.
Has an extremely dark history. And you don't have to go back very far in order to find some really screwed up stuff out of Nottoway County.
I completely forgot that the Bobby Jo Stinnett murder was in Skidmore, where that woman came in, told her she wanted to look at some dogs for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Cut the baby out of that woman,
murdering the woman, and then stole the baby.
Hang on. Wait. I just started the promo. Let's listen.
For a cycle of high-profile murders, disappearances, violence. It's what inspired Kansas City filmmaker Clayton Scott.
I grew up in Worth County, Missouri, so right next door was Skidmore, and you'd hear about stories of just like the town and all the different kind of, you know, different kind of weird crimes that had happened there. They had all, you know, the succession of three different crimes there, so that was definitely a big impact for me growing up.
Back in 1981, someone shot and killed Ken Rex McElroy as he sat in his truck. He was feared and hated around town. And even though plenty of witnesses saw the shooting, no one ever identified the killer. In 2000, police say Wendy Gillenwater was stomped to death by her boyfriend. The following year, 20-year-old Branson Perry disappeared from his front yard. He hasn't been seen since. 3 years later, police say a woman strangled Bobby Jo Stinnett with a rope, then cut her baby out of her womb with a kitchen knife.
And then, Scott, do you remember where the woman went with the baby? Because you could not make this up if you wanted to.
I believe she went to, it was in Kansas.
It was in Topeka.
It was south of Topeka.
She called her husband
from Wolf Creek?
A phone booth in front of like a Long John Silver's. And said, hey, I've had a baby. Come get me.
Melvern,
Kansas.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah. Hey, I've had a baby.
In Osage County.
Come get me. He's like, okay.
Well, that happens.
I mean, wow.
Yep.
They did get the baby back.
I can't wait to watch.
There is already a miniseries on Skidmore that's on AMC right now called No One Saw a Thing. It is outstanding. To borrow from you, Dana.
Is it about the McElroy murder?
It's about all of it.
Is it a run, do not walk?
It is a run, do not walk. Absolutely. It is.
Is that what you needed on your bingo card?
Well, I did need that, but the cinematography of this is absolutely outstanding. This is the finest television I have seen in a very long time.
Oh, I'll totally watch
so,
that.
So, yes, No One Saw a Thing on Sundance. Sorry, okay. It's on Sundance. And it is tremendous.
Well, he says for this film, in this Fox 4 story, like, there were some people that wanted to talk about it, and then I'm guessing most people don't want to say a thing about it. How long ago was the McElroy murder?
1981.
Broad daylight in the town square.
Right in the middle of the square.
Mm-hmm.
Just shot him right through the passenger or the driver's side window.
How many people were standing there? Because I've read this before. It wasn't like one or two people. There were like a lot of people.
Yes, there was a significant contingent of the town there. The estimates vary, you know, as is the story with almost all eyewitness accounts. But it's kind of settled at around two or three dozen people were on
hand. Nobody saw a thing.
And nobody saw a thing. And the thing you got to think about now is that's closing in on 40 years ago. So many of the people who were potentially involved in this are dead now anyway.
You know everybody knows who did it.
Oh, of course. I know who did it. I'm not going to say, but I know who did it.
You know who did it?
Yeah.
Just ask the guy at Casey's. He knows.
Well, those small town grocery stores, they are a wealth of information. Trying to get to here we go. Citizens decided to go to the tavern en masse. The bar soon filled completely. After McElroy finished his drinks, he purchased a six-pack of beer, left the bar, and entered his pickup truck. Someone shot at McElroy while he was sitting in his truck. He was shot several times and hit twice. In all, there were 46 potential witnesses to that shooting, including...
I'm not laughing.
The wife, who was in the truck with her husband when he was shot.
Yep.
No one called for an ambulance.
Now, the wife is the only one who ever accused someone of doing it.
The DA declined to press charges.
Because there was no one to corroborate her story.
Wow. I don't think they liked him.
He was a bad, bad, bad man.
Yes. Every indication I have ever heard about Ken Rex was that guy was bad news, start to finish.
He was indicted 21 times for different crimes.
Including rape.
But escaped conviction each time except for the last. He was convicted of shooting and seriously injuring the town's 70-year-old grocery store owner. This wasn't just like when he's been called the town bully.
Mm-hmm.
He was a psychopath.
He never actually killed anyone directly that we know of, but there were two people that he shot.
They did a book and a movie about him called In Broad Daylight.
And it is tremendous. The book is outstanding.
I'm going to have to read that.
Do that or get it on Audible.
Because the
I did
other
Audible
thing is
and
how,
just tore right through
how
it.
How does someone terrorize a town for that many years and and escape convictions in these 21 cases. I mean, it really is something that
witness intimidation.
Make up a movie. There you go.
Yeah.
It really is something that you would make up in Hollywood. Because it really happened.
He was known to sit outside the house of potential witnesses in his truck, just sit there, or he would fire shots over the house.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And that's how you make witnesses disappear.
Huh. Well, I'll watch this movie. Well,
they made him disappear.
That is true.
You know, I covered the trial of the woman who did that and stole that baby, okay?
Stole that.
And I will never forget when they brought her into the courtroom. You know, the first time anyone laid eyes on the evil person who did this. They bring her in, she sits down, and I will never forget it. I could not stop.
Lisa Montgomery was the woman who did it.
I could not stop staring at her hands because she was this tiny, meek, dark, stringy hair, teeny tiny, but not just like teeny tiny, like
she got the death penalty,
like Jamie Monticelli, like skin and bones, and also petite skin and bones. And I could not stop staring at those hands, thinking, I cannot believe this human being with those hands did that. Mousy, that's the word I will use. This stringy-haired, mousy woman.
There's her mugshot. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Now, Scott, the movie you say you've watched more times than any other.
Top Gun or Star Wars?
Roadhouse.
Oh, yeah, Roadhouse. Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you think the ending of that film came from? Where all the guns were collected, taken away, and no one saw a thing? Hmm. Where do you think they got that idea?
Skidmore, Missouri.
There you go.
I wonder if the wife stuck around. Does she still live there?
Briefly. She's now deceased. But she stuck around briefly and has since died of cancer.
Mm.
But she remarried and did not go back after she left.
You think?
Yeah.
Lisa Montgomery has been sentenced to death, but has not been put to death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 576-7798. 576-7798. We'll stare at Dana Wright, Sam Stevie. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. I know what it means to walk along the lonely street of dreams. Here I go again on my own. Going down the only road I've ever known. Like a drifter, I was born to walk alone. Telephone number here is 576-7798. Janie in Eagleville. I'm going to guess that's in Missouri. I've never heard of it.
It is. It's straight up I-35 right before the Iowa line.
Ah,
all right. Good to have you on. Go ahead.
Thank you. Happy Monday. I was just wondering if any of you have read In Broad Daylight about Rex McElroy.
Will says it is outstanding. I have not read it, but I will.
Okay. Brenda Walker.
Oh, I believe you.
I lived, my ex's family was from Skidmore. So when I read the book, I could visualize having been up there, and I lived in the city at the time when I read the book. I live in a small town now. I would not be able to read this book living in a small town. It would have freaked me out.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. The book is absolutely amazing.
What is wrong with Skidmore?
Whoa.
Get to high ground. Try again, Janie.
It's a great town. I mean, I love small towns. There was nothing wrong with it when I went there. I just think it's a close-knit town.
When someone gets murdered in the middle of the city and no one talks, I would call that close-knit.
People get murdered in the city all the time and nobody talks. I don't know that that's close-knit.
Fair point.
I think that's probably scared of retaliation, possibly, if they do talk. I think small town is more close-knit, as in we're going to take matters into our own hands.
Mm-hmm.
which obviously they did, and it worked for them. And yes, I knew people who knew who did it, but never was it uttered. It was never talked about. It just was.
Do you know who did it? And I'm not asking you to tell me.
Absolutely not. I do not know.
You do not know who killed?
I do not know.
Ken McElroy.
I do not.
Okay. Do you know people who did?
Yes.
And for whatever reason, I bet it's the worst kept secret in that town.
I would have to agree.
But nobody.
Nobody.
Is willing nobody. To. Okay.
And again, like you spoke about earlier, most of the people that probably knew or were there have passed on.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You say you don't know the name of the person who killed Ken McElroy in Skidmore, Missouri. But you know people who do know the name. Is the person who killed Ken McElroy still alive?
Honestly, I do not know because the people that I know belong to my previous practice life as a married person. And I don't have any contact with those people anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Janie, for the call. Don't you think that would be a deathbed confession?
No, Dana, I don't think it would be because, and here's the only reason why, and I can't wait till Will comes back in because he says he does know the name of the killer. Everybody in that town, I guarantee you,
knows
who did it. So what's the purpose of a deathbed confession? Everybody knows you did it. But here's the thing. We're all glad you did it. And so we're not going to, A, turn you in. We'll never testify against you. I didn't see a thing. I didn't see it. But I'm curious, is the person that everybody in Skidmore, Missouri knows did it, is that person still alive? And I will wait until Will Stair gets back in the studio, and we will find out.
Everyone was writing in on the text line, and I'd forgotten about this, that In Broad Daylight was a movie, and Brian Dennehy played the bully.
Brian Dennehy is also the star of what other incredible movie?
He played John Wayne Gacy. And creeped me out.
Okay.
What other one? Who else did he play? He's amazing.
He played Tommy Boy's dad in Tommy Boy. Well, he did.
Okay.
And he also played the sheriff in Rambo First Blood.
Hmm.
You would know if you had ever seen these incredible cinematic. I can't work under these conditions. He was the sheriff in First Blood.
Okay.
He was Tommy Boy's dad in Tommy Boy. Have you never seen Tommy Boy?
Yes, I've seen it because the kids think it's hilarious. And so.
Because it is hilarious.
I saw it when it first came out, but it's not the kind of movie I go back to
fat
10 times.
Fat guy in a little coat. Fat guy. No?
No.
Great scene.
Been a long time since I've seen it.
When the buck comes back to life in the back of the car?
I do remember that.
What did you do? None of this is ringing a bell.
It's been a while. Like 20 years, probably, since I've seen it.
You all right?
Yeah, she hasn't seen Tommy Boy in 20 years.
I haven't seen it in close to that long. I was in college, so it was 2001.
I wanted to know, Will,
I'm gonna quit
why
the show.
Has there not been a deathbed confession, or would there be a deathbed confession?
Because
at
everybody
some point?
Knows who did it.
Wouldn't somebody just say on their deathbed, I just want to clear the record,
no.
It was me?
No.
Nope.
Now, you say you know who did it.
I am confident that I know who did it.
Is this person still alive?
No.
The person who killed Ken McElroy.
There goes the
has
deathbed
passed.
Confession.
To the best of my, the person that I am very confident did it is no longer
is
with
passed.
Us. Yes.
Is no longer on this planet.
That is correct.
Okay. All right.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.